started with our Daytona 500 championship press conferences here. We are joined by our Daytona 500 winning team owner, Roger Penske. This is his third Daytona 500 win for Team Penske on his birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
And obviously the driver was Austin Cindric in the number two discount tire Ford. We will go straight to questions for Roger. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start up here with Zach.
Excuse me. Zach Sterniello with FrontStretch.com. Roger, the Fords had speed all week in the draft, and particularly your Fords. That last restart with Austin and Ryan on the front row, what was your hope there, and why? What did you see play out there from that over the last two laps?
Well, I think it was really the strategy. It was called by Jeremy putting Austin up on top, and then him coming down over ahead of Ryan. And we had talked all for weeks after last year when we were 1-2, and we ended up, in the fence, I guess you'd have to say. And they played ball, and Austin won. But the cars were good, I think, for Ford, for us, and the whole Ford group worked really well together. We've worked hard as teams to try to develop a plan. I think it paid off. And if you looked at Austin, this week and the way he ran, he didn't make a mistake today. He was up second, third, almost the entire race, and then at the end to be able to pull it off, which shows you the quality of a kid he is and also the experience that he already has as a young man. So we're very excited about the win.
We're going to go to Jenna, and then we'll check in upstairs in the press box and go to Bob after that.
Hi. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What is it about Austin that you liked? I know it can be tricky because he's the other boss's son. So what is it that you believed in him?
Well, I go back when he was playing with his toys in his bedroom in Reading. So I've seen him grow up as a young man, and I think he's been focused. He's been a student of the game. He's a smart young man. I think he works with the team well. He's in the shop all the time, and he's a team player, and he understands his position. Probably one of the tougher meetings I had with him was when we decided not to put him in the Cup. You remember we had him run another year, and he then won the championship, and he took it like a man, and you could see that as far as I was concerned. He said, "You make the call, I'm going to make it happen." That's exactly what he did. So he's a mature man at his age, and there's no question you could see his driving ability today.
Did you anticipate not missing a beat with a driver change in the two?
Well, there's lots of things to think about when you've got Blaney and you've got Joey, and Brad had made the decision that he wanted to take ownership and go over to Roush Fenway, which was great. You can see how well they did this weekend, a big shot in the arm for him. But, we've got to build these people. You bring them in the funnel, and they've got to come up, and all of a sudden you get the results because – the team we have, the longevity, we have very little turnover on the team, and those guys come back. And, that was a crew that worked, for Brad last year in many cases. And I think, with him being able to take those tools as a young man made a huge difference. And I think that I'm thrilled. I mean, it's hard to believe, but, I knew something could happen, with a green-white checker. I said, we got a chance here. You never know, and he didn't make a mistake.
I'm going to check in upstairs in the press box see if there are any questions.
Bruce Martin with Speed Sport. First off, happy birthday, Mr. Penske. Have you ever won a race on your birthday?
I don't know. I got a big cake, though, didn't I?
And also, you've seen Austin grow up, I believe, when Elio won the Indy 500 in 2001, this 1 or 2 year old Austin nearly knocked over the BorgWarner trophy the next day at the Yard of Bricks. But is he almost kind of like a part of the family to you? Because you've pretty much watched this kid grow up.
Well, I think both, his son and his brother, Tim's son and brother, really have done a great job. They've gone their own individual ways, but he's been part of the family. He moved to North Carolina when we put the teams together. Tim was a big part of that, and he gets a lot of credit, as really the team manager. We certainly with Mike Nelson and Travis Geisler and all the crew chiefs. And I think what's happened this year with a new car, our guys are working more together now than they ever had. You know, it's not three different teams. It's one team, and they work together. The engineering people do. We made some changes there with Jonathan Hassler, and all those things have paid off. So, and then at the end, you need someone to execute, and certainly he did.
And also his family lineage, his grandfather was Jim Truman, who you competed against as a team owner at the Indy 500. You know, how special do you think that is to the whole Truman family today?
Well, Jim was a great guy, and I remember when they won the 500 with Bobby Rahal, and I went over. He was very sick at that point. He was in the motorhome, and I went over to tell him, and I said, congratulations. And what he said to me, now I can put Jim Truman 500 on his airplane. Now, that's the last thing I talked to him. Think about that. So we go way back, and I'm sure he's looking down today and say, wow, you know, what a wonderful day and a great thing for my grandson.
We're going to go to Bob and then Daniel.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Blaney said that he wasn't going to make a move unless he was 100% sure either him or Austin would win. Did you have any doubt after what happened last year and the talks that you said that you had with the guys that that would be the way to play out?
Well, Bob, we talked to that about that a lot, as you would expect we did after the race last year. And I said, look, the best man wins at the end. I think we got to work together. I think it was not just us. It was the entire Ford camp. If you looked at it all day long, people stayed in line. I think they did the job. And then at the end, I felt that with two cars up front, and the speed we'd had all during the race, and obviously, interesting, we had six Fords up there and one Toyota, and Bubba certainly was hungry to win too, so we had to execute, and that's what we did.
And, I mean, I know Austin won the Xfinity title, but a couple of years before that, it was kind of a rough start for him in NASCAR. Was there a time where you thought, maybe he just doesn't have it for Cup?
Well, no, I think that, you know, he started really in these types of cars. He was a sports car racer, I guess, an open wheel racer, and then to be able to transition into NASCAR and into stock cars, look, you're going to have a bumpy ride, and you can have some luck. And on the other hand, you've seen the quality of his road racing. I mean, he comes into this series with a high road racing capability, and I think that, you know, we don't have people buy a ride at Penske. You know, we have the drivers that we want to drive for us, and I think that he was someone that we could build on. I knew him as a person, not just because it was his dad's, Tim's son. And quite honestly, if he didn't get the job done, you know, we might have changed it. But he came along, I think, as well as he could under the circumstances initially. But I think he's proven the last. This is going into the third year now. He's the top of his game.
I'm going to go to Daniel, and then we'll check in the press box again.
Daniel McFadden, FrontRush.com. Mr. Penske, what is going through your mind when the field's coming through turn four from the last time, and it's you have two of your cars, and you have your former driver and Keselowski like right there close together? What were the thoughts on your mind as that situation was playing out in the final turn?
I wish they'd move the finish line further towards turn four. That was the first thing I was thinking. And, you know, and you really couldn't tell. It's like all these things here until, you know, with the 23 as close as it was. What was a half a fender, really? So, you know, another lap, it might have been a different story. But I felt good about it because I knew the two would work together. And I knew Blaney was going to try to make it happen, you know, for Austin. If Austin slipped up, he would be there. But you never know. I think it's why people come here. That's why we filled the house today, because this type of racing we have. And you could see everybody played ball together for most of the race. There wasn't many elbows out there. But at the end, there's no question guys wanted that victory.
And finally, what was your reaction to some of your team's wheels being confiscated by NASCAR this week? And how are you expecting that situation to play out?
Well, I think that anybody who was at the race today, you talk to most of the teams, they all had trouble with wheels, didn't they? It wasn't something that was unique. And I think that, you know, we had contacted NASCAR a week before and said that the wheels we're getting, they're not all the same. And we felt we needed to modify the holes where the drive pins goes. And we didn't really get a feedback. And at that point, we went ahead and opened the holes up. In fact, when you look at it, they're much bigger than they would have been, you know, they are on a smaller, excuse me, than we had on either on IndyCar or on sports cars. So I just think there was so much going on and trying to get the communication back and forth. We certainly talked about it with them. This wasn't something we did under the covers trying to beat anybody. It was right there. So they took all our wheels, and we ran today with wheels that we had up at the shop. Came down. They were certainly like everybody else's, I think.
We're going to go up to the press box, and then we'll go to Alex.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Congrats and happy birthday, Roger.
Thank you.
You touched on this earlier, but Austin certainly didn't come through into NASCAR on a typical track of many drivers with his prior sports car experience. I just wondered, how would you rate his quick adaption to the NASCAR style of racing?
Well, I think his record speaks for itself. He really had almost two Xfinity wins in the 2 years where he really got going full time. Then to come here and have this type of victory, you know, was amazing. And I think he's a star coming up. I think he's a great team player. And, you know, from a discount tire perspective and all of our sponsors, I think he'll represent us as a team the way we need to be so he can continue to fund his car. And, look, that's part of it. You follow me? You got to be a driver. You got to understand the car technically. You got to be a team player. And you also have to work with your sponsors. And I think all of those buttons he touches very well.
I'm going to go to Alex, and then we'll go to Al.
Thank you. Alex Andreev with the Charlotte Observer. Congratulations. I just walking around the grid today, even before the race, it seemed like talking to people, they seem very excited about where NASCAR is going right now, just as a sport collectively with the sellout, coming off the Clash. And then now you've got, I think the four top finishers were all under 30 years old. To say that NASCAR is on an upswing, I guess, do you think that's an accurate assessment? And then how do you feel just about the relevance of NASCAR right now in the motorsports world?
It's a lot of questions.
Sorry, that was long.
I think if you ask the question how I think NASCAR is right today and what we see, I think we're on a great trajectory. You know, all of the new fans we had at the Coliseum and certainly selling this place out and sponsorships and suites, I think it's terrific. And, you know, with a new crop of drivers, and, you know, we have some drivers that are retiring, I think it's leaving an opening for these young kids, when you look at the five-car Larson and what he's done coming in, just bang like that once he got into the car, I think you're going to see a lot of that. And with a car being somewhat of a leveler because everybody's got the same hammer, and it's up to strategy, execution, and the driver.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to Al, and then we'll check in the press box again.
Yeah, Mr. Penske, Al Pearson, Auto Week. You are a great judge of talent. You must have known that this was going to happen probably this year. Did you think it would happen now, or did you figure, by mid-season, this kid's going to be winning?
Well, let me tell you this. You know, we're always positive. You know, the glass is not half empty. It's half full. And I think what happened today, you know, was an execution from the time we got our first piece for the new gen car. I think Roush Yates did a terrific job on the engine power as usual, and our team executed on pit road, and Austin did the rest. So that's what happens. I mean, people win races that you don't expect, but on the other hand, when you looked at the speed we had this week, I think one of our cars you could say should have been a favorite to be one of the guys in winner's circle, and it turns out to be Austin Cindric. So that's why I'm here.
Going to go back up to the press box, and then we'll go to Jerry after that.
Mike Kimber from Auto Week. Roger, obviously your cars ran good all week, but what's your general perspective on how this new car performed today versus the previous car?
Well, I can tell you one thing, that the cost to put this car together is significantly less, you know, than what if we had a regular car that we would have run last year, and I think you know, we could see that at the Clash, guys getting into each other with a fiberglass body. You know, we had that on Xfinity cars for a number of years, and I think that's paying off. I think that the cars that we have today and the new rules are terrific, and we'll see when we get back with Joey's car what it's going to take. You know, the car that the 21 car that Harrison ran, we just pulled the front end off, bolted another one on. That's all we had to do, and the car was right back in the scanner 100%. So I think NASCAR's gone a long way. Lots of discussion, lots of angst, but I'd have to take my hat off to the engineering team at NASCAR. And then the teams working with them. I think every one of us in the garage area, the whole industry, worked with NASCAR to try to bring this car to where it is. And we were fortunate to have a couple of successes early on. But I can tell you, you know, one race or two races are not going to make the championship overnight. So, number one, I take my hat off to NASCAR and all the people. And our guys being able to put it together, I think it was terrific.
Ron, Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Roger, your rookie driver is qualified now for the championship, for the playoffs. Your thoughts on that? Because you just mentioned it's not, you know, one or two races don't make a championship, but you will at least have one car in the playoffs this year.
Well, listen, if we can have a car in the playoffs after the first race, that's a big deal. And having Austin as a rookie, and I'm sure he'll have a lot more stage points and more wins. We get these road courses where he's got expertise. In fact, it's interesting that Blaney and Joey have gone to Austin, you know, for some advice on road course. So we're going to have, you know, a good team effort here all year. But to be in the chase or in the finals is amazing.
Going to go back up to the press box and check in there.
No more questions from the press box.
Thank you. We'll go to Daniel with a follow-up.
Mr. Penske, Travis Geisler told me earlier that Ryan Blaney is the best teammate that he's ever seen when it comes to super speedway racing.
Say it again?
Travis Geisler, he told me earlier that Ryan Blaney is the best teammate that he's ever seen when it comes to super speedway racing. What do you see out of Blaney in this style of racing, and what do you think makes for a good teammate when it comes to this style racing?
I think it's the person. I think it's a human being himself. I think we've taught him a lot about racing. He was a racer when he came in. We've given him good equipment. You know, he listens. And I think he knows that his teammates can help him and vice versa. And I think he has that as his MO. And I think that Joey certainly has taken the leadership on the team, being the senior guy, and Ryan also. And I think they're both trying to mentor Austin and Harrison. So I think we got a great combination, young guys and people that can be here for a long time and hope many times we can be here.
Go to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Roger, were you around Tim Cindric, and what was his reaction watching the green-white checkered finish and Austin come to
line?
He
was just cool. You know, he didn't say a thing. And you know, he was, yeah, right. You know, he's always... I always kid him. I said, you got to be a little more excited. Well, he was excited today, really. And Megan, Austin's mother, I mean, to see them, a big hug, and to see their son go across the finish line and win the Daytona 500, I guess you'd be pretty excited. And I know Tim and Megan were, so it was great to see that. He even got out of his cool, calm way today. I think he threw it all down and said, listen, I'm going to really celebrate now. My boy won the Daytona 500.
Do we have any final questions for Roger?
All right, guys, Roger, thank
congratulations you. Congratulations to you and to Team Penske.
Yeah, thank you very much.